Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Before I respond further to Joe of Madison, I want to recognize Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. Yeah, that was a great call by Joe there. Quickly, Michaels is a flip-flopper. Kevin Helpless is either Michaels or Rebecca get elected governor. It'd be a terrible thing. And also, when you listen to Joe, it points out how important the Senate race is in this state. It could be the difference between getting everything Biden wants or going the other way, which I don't really want to think about. And down the road, if you address the Secret Service emails, you know, the ones where they went crazy on Hillary, maybe caused through the election. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for calling in. Those are great. Let me respond to you, and then I'm going to respond to Joe some more. First of all, the Senate race, August 9. Basically, it was 3 weeks from yesterday. It's 2 weeks from next Tuesday. 2 weeks. Get involved in one of those races. Get involved in one of those races. We have excellent candidates. They had a debate. I personally think that any one of them could beat Ron Johnson. But let's get behind somebody. Ron Johnson is putting on ads trying to say, for instance, that he always will stand up for Wisconsin and he'll cut taxes. He voted for a tax cut that 87% of it or something went to people in the top 1% or even 0.5% of the country. And it had the effect of raising taxes on middle-class people. And he has proposed, in effect, raising taxes on lower-income people just so that they have some skin in the game. Just so they have some skin in the game, as he puts it. Skin in the game is a term that's used by people who buy and sell companies. You don't tell a guy with a wife and 4 kids who can't work outside the home because she's so busy at home, and he has a job paying $25,000 a year, that he needs to put skin in the game. He's put plenty of skin in the game already. So did his wife. We got to get involved in that race. Find out the 4 candidates. You have Alex Lazary, Sarah Godlewski, Tom Nelson, Mandela Barnes, and then you have a number of other fine ones as well. Look them up. Pick out the one you want. Vote for them. Get to the polls August 9. Get your friends and family to the polls. We got to beat this guy. On the Secret Service emails, and you anticipate some of our topics, but The Secret Service goes, we happen to lose the emails from the 5th and the 6th of January because we were doing a conversion of our equipment. We didn't lose any before that and none after that. And a guy comes in, a Secret Service professional, veteran of more than 20 years, who wrote a book. He said, they don't communicate by text. They communicate by radio. They have microphones in their sleeves, and they have earbuds in their ears. And there's something like 200 of them at any given spot along the route that a president is. 200 of them. 200 of them. If they didn't communicate by radio, it's because they were covering something up. And if there were texts saying something like, Trump, this idiot, is trying to get to the Capitol, what do we do? You know, that kind of stuff. They deleted them. They deleted them. And he said that the NSA can recover anything. You can't delete anything. You can say that it's off your device. You can say it's off your server. You can say till you're blue in the face, we can get those texts. The Secret Service is protecting Trump, even though what they have to say probably makes them look good. Like Trump, this idiot, he's trying to get to the Capitol. Tony Ornato, who is a former Secret Service, but he was pro-Trump, and Trump made him deputy chief of staff, told Cassidy Hutchinson, Trump grabbed the steering wheel, and he came at my clavicle, at my throat, and she recounted that, and he has sort of said, without going on the record, no, that didn't happen. The Secret Service protects their protectee. the protectee was Trump, and they will lie to protect him. That's what's going on. Everything else is hypocrisy. You know, Hillary Clinton's emails that the Ruskies hacked into that were not compromised other than by the Ruskies to help Trump. They go after him, and Comey doesn't even say that Trump is being investigated for treason with the Ruskies, only that Hillary's being investigated that turned the election. There's a lot of chicanery going on, okay? Cut through it all, everybody. Vote Democratic, okay? Okay, vote Democratic. Now, I want to get back to what Joe Madison said, and this is a very, very profound thing. You've heard before that if something affects men, everything is done to protect it and men. Somebody once said if men could have abortions, they would not only be not outlawed, they'd be a sacrament. So that is a kind of a just a very cheeky way to put it. But basically, Joe came up, there's a certain drug that you shouldn't take if you plan to be pregnant within 6 months. Well, who plans within 6 months? I mean, yeah, some people do. A lot of people don't. So how do you know? But secondly, it can affect sperm as well as the woman. And so therefore, nobody should get it. Well, no, you need it. You need it for rheumatoid arthritis and other things. So it's denied only to women. That's a violation of equal protection. But why am I even having to say this to talk equal protection? Men have autonomy over their bodies. Society is beginning to say women don't have autonomy over their bodies. Some states now are going to criminalize traveling to another state for abortions. Joe might ask, can they do that under the Privileges and Immunities Clause? No, of course they can't. If you go to Illinois, they can't ask you why you're going there. And if you commit a felony in Illinois, which abortion is not down there, you can't try your fort in Wisconsin. So if you do something in Illinois that's perfectly legal, but is a felony in Wisconsin, no, they cannot prosecute back here. But they're going to pass it anyway because the Supreme Court is 6-3 Republican and five of them are hardcore. One of them was confirmed during lame duck, nominated by a president who'd lost. He lost the election. Confirmed by a Senate by a narrow margin, many of whom weren't going to sit in the Senate afterwards. This is a sham. This is not a legitimate judge. This is not a legitimate court. Now, here is the thing I want to say, and think about this long and hard. If a day comes where the Supreme Court orders something that is clearly repulsive to most of the people, the remedy is disobedience. Do everything you can to remove these justices, impeach them, convict them in a trial in the Senate, and remove them. But if you can't, because Moscow Mitch will block it, do not obey them. The devastatingly sneaky thing of what this Supreme Court did is they're not telling you to do anything. They're just saying the states can tell you to do things or not. Then they sit back and grin. Well, about half the states, let's take Oklahoma, will say not only can't you have an abortion, you can't even do one and have one to save the life of the mother. To save the life of the mother, you're entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To save the life of the mother. They're not the only state. Louisiana is another one that's trying that. A federal judge initially blocked it. How can you say that a woman can't save her own life? That is the ultimate degradation, to say that someone can't save their own life. They can't save their own life. And the fact is a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, she can die. But somebody in Oklahoma doing a medical procedure to save her life would be guilty of a felony, perhaps. And here's another thing that's very sad. There is no, and listen to this, there's no common sense when it comes to your fear of criminal prosecution. You would think that any doctor in Oklahoma would intervene to stop an ectopic pregnancy. And if some DA in a rural county decided to prosecute him because he wanted to be governor, the doctor could go to trial and he'd win. And yeah, he probably would. He'd probably spend $50,000 or $100,000 on legal fees, and he'd be in the newspaper for 3 weeks. Well, people are risk-averse. They don't want to put up with that. Even pharmacists, you'd think that a pharmacist if he got a prescription that said it's for rheumatoid arthritis, he'd do it. And they said to him, well, couldn't that have an abortive effect? Yeah, well, that's remote, and that isn't why it was. Would he be prosecuted? Almost certainly not. But almost certainly and close count in horseshoes and hand grenades. They don't count in criminal prosecution. Planned Parenthood went to court in Texas and got an exemption briefly, but Planned Parenthood is closing down any abortion services because they will not take the risk. When it comes to criminal prosecution, well-intentioned professionals and good people will stand back and not even do something common sense to avoid risk. You must understand that. Therefore, the devastating effect of the Supreme Court opinion is that they put uncertainty in people's minds, and therefore they've accomplished their objective. And also, the other thing is, they didn't tell you to do anything or not do anything. They grinned and sat back and said the states can do it any way they want. That way, what's there to disobey of the Supreme Court? What you have to do is disobey the state. Well, the problem with the states is they can be very brutal. They have law enforcement on their side. They have governors and secretaries of state and gerrymandered legislatures who are brutal. We do not want violence. I want to make that clear when I'm talking like this. But something has got to be done. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. I sent a special deed.